The CAPE Lab is housed in a nondescript building on East St. Patrick Street in Rapid City. From the outside, it looks as if it could be a warehouse for plumbing supplies, but step inside and you'll see the future. You might have a hard time comprehending nanotechnology if you're a visual person, because there's really nothing to see until the technology is applied to something concrete. But the scientists at the CAPE Lab are making stuff that you can put your hands on, and that assists the translation.
The one I have in my hand right now is constructed of four layers of a carbon fiber fabric and that phenolic resin.
Engineer Andrew Brady holds up a couple of large squares of black material with white writing on them.
This other piece is also constructed of four layers of that composite fabric, but in between the middle two layers has a very lightweight honeycomb structure. By handling them, you can see how flexible one is and how rigid the second is.
Brady illustrates how adding a layer of material can stiffen the composite fabric to allow it to be used as flooring or decking on a boat, a plane, or a building. And that strong material sandwiched between the fabric layers is 80% air, adding very little weight. These researchers use nanoscale technology to add qualities to various materials to make them stronger or lighter, conductive or insulating, without taking away the positive qualities that they already hold.
Polyethylene, which is your shopping bag, the same chemistry. You can manipulate the structure, the molecular arrangement in polyethylene to stop bullets.
Mines Professor David Salem is director of the CAPE Lab.
So the bulletproof vest that you wear is made from the same material that your polyethylene bag is made from, but because we can manipulate the molecules on the arrangement and the ordering and the crystallinity and the orientation of the molecules on the molecular level, we can change that polyethylene bag into something that stops bullets.
Salem is protective of the processes employed at the lab, but he's generous in explaining the science. In one room is a large machine with a drum, but it's not running today. So Salem goes to another room where there's a more primitive version of the larger machine. It's a syringe pointed at a horizontally revolving drum. From the syringe flows a stream of nanoparticles that collect on the drum, creating a dense white fabric.
Also, you're creating a very high electric field, so...
It's going to snap in here.
Yeah, it could be, because of you're feeling the intense electric field. It could be static building. So there's a high voltage applied to that needle right there, so don't touch it.
Uh-uh.
And then, I don't know whether you can see it.
I can, a little bit.
But coming off there, you can see...
Kind of like little heat waves or something, aren't they?
You can actually see fibers coming off.
Emanating from the needle is a vague and tiny disturbance in the air, like the fumes coming up from a gas can or heat shimmering over the desert. The way the fibers collect resembles spinning cotton candy, except the fluff isn't pink, and it gathers on the outside of the revolving drum instead of on the inside. On a counter near the syringe are the resulting sheets of soft white material.
It looks like it's made out of spider web.
It is. It looks like a spider web, but it's much more dense than that. So a spider web, of course, has big gaps between the filaments, but this is a very dense material.
David Salem says some of the work at the lab is commissioned by NASA to create insulating material strong enough for structures built on the moon or on Mars. The insulation has to withstand extreme temperatures as well as pressurized interiors coming up against the exterior vacuum.
Cellular or porous materials tend to be thermally insulating, yet they're generally not strong. So again, we're resorting or using the extraordinary properties of nanomaterials in which you can add very, very small amounts, like 1% to 2% of a well-dispersed nanomaterial like a carbon nanotube or graphene.
Salem says it's important to keep these insulating materials lightweight.
Transportation of materials into space costs something like $30,000 a pound.
Can't send it UPS.
That's right.
He says the United States Department of Defense also funds some of the work, in part to find a better way to protect soldiers from head injuries.
One of the problems with existing helmets is that they're very good at stopping bullets, but it turns out that they're not good at preventing the propagation of shock waves to the head from, for example, roadside bombs. And they're also not very good at accumulating damage from repeated impacts.
As with other products, Salem says it's important to keep helmet material lightweight for soldiers who routinely carry as much as 130 pounds of gear. The materials created at the Cape Lab are currently too expensive to use universally, but eventually they might be used in high-volume products, even in household products like furniture.
Robust, strong, lightweight furniture, which can be moved very easily because more and more people want to change spaces. Yeah. They want to rearrange things. Same with interior walls to be changed.
So in the future, you can not just rearrange the furniture, but also the walls. Maybe give a few extra feet to the dining room if you're expecting guests. The composite nanomaterials designed to protect soldiers against shock waves might someday be used in football helmets, addressing the players' brain injuries that have recently risen to national consciousness. The Moon and Mars insulation could be used in construction projects here on Earth. These tiny, tiny nanoparticles inspire huge innovations. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City.